welcome to Outbeat Radio, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have Noe Naranjo and Chris Hayward together for almost 2 years. Noe identifies as a non-binary person who is focused on aspects of design and communication. Noe is a student in computer science and graphic design and is also a community organizer and developed the Hillsburg Drag Show in 2017. Noe hopes to bring forward a progressive future for themselves and their trans siblings in thought, design, art, and music. Welcome, Noe.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity.
And we also have Chris Hayward, who identifies as non-binary. Chris is a resident of Healdsburg and is a musician, writer, and former actor. Chris currently works as a busser at Dry Creek Kitchen in downtown Healdsburg and is a self-taught drummer and piano player and is still trying to find ways to express themselves to their fullest potential. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Very welcome. We're very excited to have both of you on our show tonight.
So stay tuned to learn more about Chris and Noe. But first, here's news and events from our Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of May 2nd, 2021. The United States Supreme Court voted 7-2 to reject a request by the state of Texas to allow them to file a lawsuit against the state of California for banning state-funded travel to the Lone Star State. This in response to anti-LGBTQ laws. Texas, under the administration of Governor Greg Abbott and elected Attorney General Ken Paxton, passed a law back in 2017 that allowed foster care and adoption agencies to refuse to work with potential parents who don't follow the agency's religious principles, even if they receive state funds. So California put the state on a list that state institutions cannot use state funds to send staff, board members, or students to that state. When California banned travel to Texas in 2017, Governor Abbott joked that California businesses would be fleeing over taxation and regulation and move to Texas. But 3 years later, Texas has filed this lawsuit claiming that California was discriminating against them by not paying for state employees' travel. Paxton claimed that in the motion filed with the Supreme Court in February 2020 that California's law was unconstitutional. And while the Constitution does not ban states from treating others differently, Paxton argued that California's ban interfered with interstate commerce. The U.S. Supreme Court disagreed. 10 other states fall on California's current travel ban, including Alabama, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, and Tennessee. The states on this list are determined by California's Attorney General. And in a related story, the state of Montana might be added to that list we just mentioned. Last week, Governor Greg Gianforte signed the so-called Montana Religious Freedom Restoration Act into law. It grants people the freedom to discriminate if they believe their religious liberties are substantially burdened. It also restores the freedom of religion that is nominally protected by the First Amendment. The law leaves broad implications that may likely lead to anti-LGBTQ discrimination on the grounds of religious freedom. An anti-LGBTQ hate group leader is already cheering the governor's legislation. SB 215 was passed almost entirely by Republicans, with one state Democrat in the Montana House voting in favor of the bill. The governor tweeted, quote, "To protect Montana's right to freely exercise their religion, I was proud to sign the Religious Freedom Restoration Act today," end quote. And transgender communities around the nation in some of the largest cities in the world are mourning the loss of two transgender people and one gender nonconforming person over the last week. Tiara Banks was murdered on the night of April 21st in Chicago while operating her car and stopped at an intersection. Natalia Lopez was killed on April 23rd right here in the South Bay. Milpitas Police Department classified Lopez as the victim of a domestic violence homicide. Her apparent partner, Elijah Segura, had been arrested and is currently being held on homicide charges after turning himself in. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moraglia.
And welcome back to Living Proof. In studio, we have Noe Naranjo and Chris Hayward as our guests together for almost 2 years. We're very excited to have you both. So thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us tonight.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, wow, this is really great because I want to just share with everybody when I first heard about Noe was it was something with the Hillsburg drag show. And we started talking on Messenger and I started asking you all these different questions about yourself. And I thought it would be great to have you be on our show. And so here you are. So we'll get into the drag show talking later. What about sharing something about yourself? Chris, you want to start? Just give us a little bit more information about yourself.
I'm an actor, writer, musician. I'm into film. And I don't know, I've just begun to like really start my life, definitely, especially living away from my parents. And I live with my partner in Healdsburg. And I've been working at a restaurant and it's busy, but it's good.
Is the restaurant work is just until you move forward with all those other creative endeavors?
It's definitely you have to start somewhere. A year or two ago, I worked at a sandwich restaurant in Santa Rosa, and I ultimately like quit it after the pandemic hit. And I was just like, I don't want to work at like a sandwich restaurant then. But I got to work at a record store actually for a couple months, and that was really nice. Like that was, I don't know, that was definitely like a dream job, definitely, because I very much just got paid to like play music and like organize things and break down cardboard.
Wonderful. And so Noe, give us a little bit more about you.
As you mentioned earlier, I think like my life kind of started like when I like opened up the drag show. I think that's when I started like kind of like finding more ways of like expression, like kind of living out like my a gayer life that like I should have been kind of having like as a teen, like definitely developing that through the drag show. But then I think that was a step, but it's like for me, I'm also still in the process of like learning about like what I want to do and like learning about like who I want, like still, I think that's still like a continual process I like you go through like as like through life and stuff. But like right now it's still like you mentioned, I do design, do computer work. I kind of want to do like a lot of different things like with like every kind of sort of media that like I can find. Cause like, I think there's just so many ways of like expressing yourself that like shouldn't be limited by just like vocal or like can just touch you in different ways and like, you know, make you feel these things, you know?
So you said about, you mentioned expressing yourself more through the drag show. So how did you come up with the idea? How did that all start? And how did that help you express yourself more?
Well, the idea of the drag show, it came out because my school, like my club, the club that I was in at school, the QSA, no, it was called the GSA at the time, which was like the Gay Straight Alliance. It had like about like 10, 15 like students involved in it. There wasn't much like gay things that we did besides like make lemonade and like to sell like during school lunch, you know, the school and all that. And then I was like, okay, like when do we actually get to like be gay, you know? Like it was just kind of like a gay hangout, but there was not much like of a, you know, like an activity for all gay people to like kind of come together. And since it was like such a small school, like I was like, I kind of want to do like something like put on more of an event to like for people to like actually go out and like be gay, like be themselves. And like what initially started was like a pride week at my school, which was every day during the pride week it was just going to showcase like different parts of like gay history. I can't remember like too precisely, but because this was like 5 years ago, there was a whole week that we planned out where we had these different activities set up throughout the day. So one of the days was like a trivia. Another day was a day of reenacting the Rocky Horror Picture Show. There was just activities like for like the whole week. But I think for the end of the week, I wanted to end it off with like a drag show. And what I intended was just like a small little show outside of the school for like 5-10 kids, you know, like in the school to just like I don't know, like have a good gay time, you know? And then when I started that, there was just like, there was a backlash from like the school, because like the backlash was like that the school didn't want to expose kids to like the queerness of these activities. And so like we had like the whole community like behind us, like trying to push, like trying to push the show. So like I kind of garnered like more community support that way. And like I met like Ozzy and Christian, like who helped like the pioneer the whole movement to like open the show. And then when I opened the show, like to be honest, like I never watched Drag Race or anything. Like I was still very new to drag. Like I was like, okay, like I was like, is drag really just the way of like being gay, you know? I was like, is this how I can express myself in like a, because it felt like the only safe way to kind of express myself as like a gay person without being like a gay man. Because this was kind of like a beginning, like this was kind of like my journey into being like, oh, like I don't really like identifying like as a gay man, because it just feels so not me, you know? Like being a gay man kind of felt like it was my own drag. But through the first show, I was like, oh, like seeing like my drag as like, which was like a very feminine way, as like my own cloak in which I can express myself in a way where I wouldn't really feel like retaliation for like being gay. Like it was more of an, like it was like a little outlet for like my mind to just kind of like live out a very feminine like fantasy that like I've always, or like a very feminine, a feminine manifestation that just kind of like had like that was just hiding in like a corner of like my mind. I was like, I can be feminine and I can be expressive and I can be all these things, but I don't have to wear a wig or like do like my makeup like this for it. Like, I was like, oh, like, but venturing out in that form definitely helped break through the walls that I wanted to get through in maturity and like adulthood and like becoming like a queer person. So I think that's like kind of what opened my eyes, like through everything. And especially just like learning about like all the queer people that just like came to the show that like had their own stories to tell and like their own lives. Like they also were like, hey, like before this drag show, I was just putting on like makeup and like wigs in my room and like dancing to Beyonce, you know? So it was like, oh, like come out here and like dance like your favorite pop star with everybody and like put on a show, you know, like not even like a show, just put on, like be yourself, you know, just come out here, have a good time, have fun. And it's like, through as the drag show progressed, I felt like my own like persona as like being an artist and performer, I felt like it kind of was changing itself with drag. Cause for the last show, I kind of just went for a form of like a disco ball. Cause I felt like that was just like a form of like high energy and like high drive that I wanted to present myself as, like something glimmering, something ecstatic, something like full of life and for the night.
Wow, beautiful, powerful.
Yeah.
As you were talking, I can just imagine how you just like came out, right? You just like burst out of the bubble and you allow yourself to just express. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was definitely a bubble bursting for like Sonoma County as well, because there's not much like open spaces for like queer people or like gay young people, unless they're gay people who are able to drink or gay people who are like able to like have the financial status to be able to express themselves and like have that security. It's like a lot of the gay resources are really gay kept by like older gay men in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for saying that, because that is true, and we need to do something about that. And so maybe that's part of your community organizing skills.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for sharing that. And Chris, were you a part of that as well, the drag show?
I wasn't, but I attended actually with my friend in 2019. Where was that one?
The villa. Was that the villa?
At the villa.
What'd you think about it?
I really liked it. I don't know. It's expressing femininity and just queerness in general to me was always kind of something that was very much kept from me, definitely growing up. And I mean, throughout my life until like 2-3 years ago, where I was just very much surrounded in like cycles of heteronormativity. And actually coming out to my parents was, it was rough, because it was, they found out and then they went through my phone. And so there was kind of this, like this don't ask, don't tell environment that sprouted in the house, and it really resulted in just a rough time in general. So a lot of this is really, really new to me in a sense, especially because I mean a lot of like my own self was held back from me, like a lot of my life.
Can you say more about that?
Like when I was a kid, I didn't really like fit in a box, you know, like going through like elementary schools and stuff like that. And my parents were very much aware of this, but they refused to acknowledge my autism basically. And they refused to acknowledge like how they were forcing me into all these like certain aspects of like what their idea of what a person is, what a man is. And I never really, I don't know, I just was really disillusioned by the concept of being a man, especially once I was graduating high school. I didn't want to be associated because it's almost like a stereotype, but it's like there are not many good men out there at all. And it's extremely disheartening. And it's, I don't know, like, I didn't really like learn about myself until last year. And I started doing research kind of like the overlap between people on the spectrum and people who are transgender or non-binary. And it's like, it really put like the feelings of repression that I've had into like a perspective that I never really understood before, because I simply didn't have the resources to. And the drag show to me, it wasn't exactly the awakening period, but it was definitely a start. And it was actually really cool to like see like something like this held in Sonoma County, because besides that, this place is extremely heteronormative.
I'm just curious, Chris, about your relationship with your parents. And were you ever able to speak about maybe your frustration or anger with them about them not seeing you and pushing you into this box? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I have tried to vocalize that to them before, and it very much resulted in just not really being recognized, either getting patronized or getting guilted into thinking that it's my fault or something, or it's like I'm just like making something up to make them feel bad. I don't know. It's very common in households, because like a lot of families around the country don't know how to, like, I don't know, there's just no education on it. And that goes for school too. There's no education on being queer. It's really difficult to navigate. And in high school, it was intensely difficult.
You both are young, and I'm just curious, how old are you, Chris?
I'm 20 years old.
20. And so you recently graduated within the last 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, I graduated in 2019.
Ah, so in 2 years, wow. So that sounds like a really, I don't know if I'm putting words in your mouth, but to me, it sounds like it was a painful time for you to be in your family, not being seen and trying to figure life out.
It was, because I don't know. It's like I'm trying to like figure out how I'm going to make it in my 20s, how I'm going to transition to an adult life. And it's, I can't envision anything under their eyes, you know? And I don't know. That's always been something really difficult to cope with and grapple. But it felt natural to just leave. I mean, when the pandemic started, I was going over to Noe's house and staying there for about 3 to 4 days, about every week. Yeah, and then it soon became, I was staying there for a week, and then I was staying there for 2 weeks, and then I was staying there for 3 weeks. And then there was just one day where I told my parents a month and a half into me staying at Noe's house that I want to live here. And they respected that.
Were you raised in Healdsburg as well?
I was raised in Kenwood.
So how was it, Noe, to have Chris come in, move in? Your parents were okay with that?
Yeah, my parents didn't say anything about it. I think they were just so normalized to like seeing Chris all the time. Like they even started bringing like Chris like food whenever like they went out. Like, so I think that's when I was like, oh, like they're kind of like really accepting like Chris is like being here, when they like started bringing Chris some food. I think that was like a main indicator. I was like, oh, okay, like they want to share things. And they never really like brought it up at all. Like we didn't really bring it up. It was just kind of like a casual kind of like, oh, Chris is just kind of like living here with me.
And that's one thing I wanted to really highlight, is that actually Noe's mom treated our relationship with much more respect than my parents ever really did, because there would be times where I'd be in the house with my family. And there was one time I was overhearing my mom on the phone with someone, like I think a friend of hers at work. And she's talking about like what my sister is a couple years older than me, and she has a boyfriend and works at Acre Coffee in Petaluma. And so she's telling her friend about, oh, Brianna, you know, she's doing great. She's just hanging out with her boyfriend, and they're just spending time all the time. It's really nice. And then, oh, what's Chris doing? Oh, just a lot of homework, just a lot of, you know, studying. I don't know. I was in the middle of a Zoom class when I heard that. I don't know. That really shook me. It's those very passive aggressive maneuvers that just very, it just displays blatant phobia. Like they're just blatantly scared.
Definitely. Wow. You're two strong people, I must say. I love your tenacity to find something better, to move on and to live your life. And that's what we deserve, right? We all deserve to just live our lives.
That's what it's all about. Because it's really hard when you have a kind of a cloud over your head like that, or you have barriers that are invisible barriers that just, they aren't real. So why treat it as such? And I think breaking out of that heteronormative loop is really just kind of, I don't know, it opened so many more opportunities for me. It opened a way to just, I don't know, just be myself, definitely, without having to like be worried about who's going to perceive me as what.
So is there another parent in your home, Chris?
I'm raised by my mom and my dad. They're both together.
So how's your relationship with your dad?
At first, I thought it was kind of innocuous. I thought he was treating that way with a certain amount of respect that I would kind of expect. Like whenever they were in the house, my dad would like smile, hug them, etc. And, you know, I was okay with that. But then, I don't know, they kind of turned on me a little bit during a kind of a family emergency in which I'm visiting a relative who is in the stage of dying. And they told me I couldn't bring Noe. But they didn't even tell me why until I was in the car on the way over there. And it was very much because they know full well that this person was homophobic in their life. And they were scared of confronting that person with this in their last days. And I realized it wasn't about this relative. It was about them. It was about how they would feel and how people would react to them. I don't know. And that was like a month ago. But then 5 days later, they're like, oh, you can come again and bring Noe this time. But still, very much, they were introduced as a friend. And that's just something I have to deal with.
And your relationship with your sister, Chris, how is that?
We really bonded a while back. It's nothing really personal. It's very much she overworks herself. So there's not a lot of time to talk to her. And her boyfriend's a little stone cold toward me. So I don't know, very much. I used to have a really strong connection with her, and I hope to in the future.
Well, I think it's terrific that you have found a place to live that you can be no cloud over you.
Yeah, it's something else. And there were times when I first moved in that I would go through these cycles of guilt and shame for just kind of like leaving them behind. It was more or less just kind of a byproduct, just like the manipulation. I don't know. It's really hard to describe, but it was something I had to work over for many months, and it's been much better. I've been feeling much better about it. It's like I can't really feel sorry for my actions and my being distant if they didn't provide anything for me to really prolong a relationship into my adulthood. So I very much, you know, I should focus on myself.
Good for you. It's like leaving jail to freedom. You've found freedom. I mean, you know, to put it clearly.
Yeah.
So Noe, now it's your turn. Family life. Seemed like you're in a good position with your mom. I don't know, has it been that way for a long time? And who's in your household?
It's just like my parents and my siblings. At first, like my parents were very rough about like me coming out like as gay. They weren't like so accepting like as a teen. They were like when I initially told them, it was like when I had like my first boyfriend at like 16, like a weekend to like dating him. I was like, oh, like I'm gay. I have a boyfriend. Then I called them like on my way from school and I was like, hey, like I'm gay. I have a boyfriend. And then like, as soon as I got home, like they were so heartbroken, their whole world collapsed. I was like, oh no, you know, and then their whole world collapsed. But then that's when they were just like super rude. And they were like, try to get me like on like, and they're like Mexican, so they have like very strong superstitions about certain things and like certain like the constructs of gender and like the role that you have to play like as a man. There was this whole year like that I had to endure of them just like trying to get me like on hormone treatment so that I could be like more of a man, you know, like and like quit being gay. And but that was very hard to endure, but like it's kind of just like buried in my mind because it's like, it's not like something I'm like, yeah, I endured it. I grew past it. And I'm like, I learned a lot from it. But it's just like I feel like they've changed more from that. Like, they've definitely had their own growth, and like, they went to their own family therapy, and like, I've provided them with like resources to like learn and stuff. And my mom has like been supportive of like the drag show, and like, she goes to the drag show. So then like, I feel like that's what she's very supportive of. Like, I'm not sure what my mom sees me as, because like, sometimes she like, I feel like when like it's like drag season and stuff, like she sees me more as like a woman, and like she'll call me like her daughter and stuff, which I'm pretty sure she'll be like okay with. But like, still, there's like, you know, like, what if I did tell her like I'm non-binary? Like, how would she really react? You know, it's like, it's still these kind of like, because she does have friends who like are trans themselves, but it's still like, I don't know if I'm ready to burst that bubble yet for her. Because it's still like, as I don't really want to repeat the same cycle that like I had as a kid, like with them. Because I was like, I'm 21 years old. There's nothing you owe to your parents. Like, you can literally just hide being gay from your parents. Like, that is totally okay. Like, if you need to do that for your own safety, like, you have to do what you have to do to get by and like survive. And like, I'm like, I feel like this is definitely a thing that I could definitely hide from them, especially like, since they're not very like involved with my own life. I kind of have like my own life, like with Chris at home with my parents. Like, it just kind of like, they kind of have like their own life, like around ours, or like, you know, like just going around. So like, we kind of have like our own, like, cause our room is kind of like our little house, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, our room is like a little cute, it doesn't even feel like a part of the house. It's just like
it's very cut off.
Yeah. So it's like our little area, our little world.
Actually, the first time they brought me to their house or to their room, they snuck me through their window. And if you only were in that room, you'd have no idea what the rest of the house looked like. It, you know, just different paint, different decorations, LED lights, you know, it's crazy.
That sounds beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful room for you to live in.
Yeah, it's super, super colorful. I wish we could be in there and I could give you a little tour.
Right. Yeah. Another time for sure. Hey, it's about time for our music break, and then we'll come back and learn about you a little bit more. But Chris, you brought a song that we're going to play. So could you tell us why you brought the song and introduce the song to us?
Well, for me, music was always kind of like the first thing that really brought me out of my shell in the first place. Like, it was my like coping mechanism away from everything in my life. And this one artist I was always really into, Tracy Thorn, who was in Everything But the Girl, she has a solo album that is very much just about herself in kind of a biographical kind of way. But I was kind of able to relate the lyrics to myself and my finding my transness definitely in her. And the song I've chosen is New Opened Eyes. It's basically about like hiding a lie from yourself or from someone else until finally it just explodes and there's nothing you can do.
Thank you for bringing the song, everybody. I hope you enjoy New Opened Eyes by Tracy Thorn. And welcome back. This is Living Proof. If you just joined us, this is Diana and Sheridan. And as our guests tonight, we have Noe and Chris. And you just got finished listening to New Opened Eyes by Tracy Thorn. So we are interested in how you both met each other. Chris, could you go ahead and tell us how you met?
Basically, I met Noe through a very popular social app for queer people. And we didn't think it was going to be like a thing beyond the initial hookup, dare I say. But it basically turned into like us just laying in the back of their Prius talking until like 3 a.m. And we realized we both kind of liked each other's company a lot. And then it turned into a couple more times in the car. And once again, we were just, it just ends with us just like talking endlessly because it very much felt good to rekindle with Noe then. I was 19 and
I was 19 too.
Yeah, we were both 19. And it was in a very crucial period of my life because my family went through like losing their home in the 2017 fires. And so after a series of moving around, my parents finally got to move to their property again, like because they built a little modular home on the property. And they left me and my sister this apartment in Bennett Valley. And based on it, took that as my period of just freedom. And I basically did a lot of things that I wouldn't be able to do with my parents around, i.e. sneak out at night, etc. Because that was the first time I was with Noe. I was living by myself in Bennett Valley in an apartment complex, and they just picked me up and we just drove somewhere. And soon after, we made it to Noe's house, and that was the first time I went into their room. And we just listened to music and laid on their bed. And
we listened to Charlie XCX.
We should mention.
Yeah, that was a good time.
An artist very popular among the queer community.
Say the artist's name again, Charlie.
Charlie XCX.
XCX. And we both really wanted to enjoy each other's company in the form of like something longer than just seeing each other for a couple hours. And so it was the first time I really told my parents I was seeing somebody, because everything else I experienced beforehand, I just kept to myself or I hid it from them. And I thought, you know, I wanted to change that aspect. I wanted to bring my parents into this, whether they like it or not, and tell them, yes, I'm seeing someone. So yeah, once it got to January 1st, 2020, I finally popped the question to Noe that we should be more than just friends. There should be a label for what we are. And so we made it official on that date. And so that's when we were official, 1-1-2020.
Oh, nice. And Noe, you're all into it, huh? You're ready.
I was ready.
Yeah, you withheld some feelings. There was one time when I was basically confiding in Noe that I saw them a lot more than just like a friend or just like a fling or a thing. I wanted to eventually share my life, which is something I really never did a lot. I don't know. I just, friend groups I was in, the people I knew, it very much was, I kept my life to myself, and I kind of did keep it that way. A lot of people in my life, no, I did not get to meet them because I just didn't want to be around these people anymore. And it was very much my decision to just be able to live my private life with my partner. And eventually, I really grew akin to living with them and just sharing every day with them.
So, Chris, what was it about Noe, those nights in the car up to 3 o'clock in the morning talking? What was that that attracted you to Noe versus the other flings that you had?
It very much was an open mind. Their interests in art also really intrigued me, because a lot of people I previously have met up with or talked to, I did not feel like I was on the same page with them, either intellectually or etc. And this was the first time I really felt like I was like talking to someone who like understood me and I understood them. And through that, we shared a lot of our stories we experienced growing up and the stuff like we experienced. And it was incredible. I've never been able to be that open with someone in my life. And so they became my best friend. Someone I trust, someone I love.
I'm so happy that you're able, Chris, to share so openly right now with us, and that you found Noe to be able to just open and set yourself free. It's a beautiful thing. I appreciate you both being here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Noe actually helped me a lot. Thank you. We really appreciate being here.
I mean, I feel really connected to you both right now. It's just, your story is very moving. And so, Noe, we want to hear from you about your, you know, there's always two sides to the story, so.
I think Chris covered it all.
I know, I didn't mean to.
I think Chris really got it all. There's not much.
There's some details.
No, just what attracted you? What do you like about Chris, you know?
Oh, okay. I thought you meant.
No.
Not like a play-by-play.
Okay. I'm trying to think of where to start, like with the story. I'm just trying to think. Really exciting, like a really exciting person to be around. I think that was like kind of like one of the main indicators of like when I was like, okay, like I want to see this person again. I was like, I want to see this person with the sun, like reflecting off like their glasses and like, you know, like the sun, like with the sun in the background. Like I was like, I need to see this person. There was just that drive, because it was the end of fall semester when like Chris and I were like seeing each other like much more. When we first started seeing each other, like we kind of got cut off again because of like the fires happening again. I wasn't even in like Healdsburg for like 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, I think, because of the fires. And like, there was just that.
I got the flu for like 3 weeks.
When I got back, I was like, dang, like, I was like, I need to see Chris again, you know? And then we kind of just started seeing each other more again. And then there was just like that excitement with like seeing Chris. Like with hookups before, there would just be like the, you know, closing your eyes. You do not see it. You don't hear it. You don't speak up. You don't really do, you know, you don't really express yourselves and stuff. But with Chris, it was like, okay, like I really felt like I was opening up like a lot of parts of myself that were just like closed off before, like in terms of like sexuality and like expression and also just like communication. There was like an actual person I could like talk to about like things. And then that's when I was like, oh, like the more we talked, the more things like opened up. And like the more as like time passed, I was like, oh, like this isn't just like a person that I'm like hooking up with. This is a person that I'm like confiding in and like really sharing, like starting to like share bits and pieces of like my life with, like to the point that we kind of like just started hanging out like at the JC and stuff like casually. And then it was just like we had like this whole day on January 1st where it was like whole 2 days where we just like hung out. And it was like as soon as Chris asked me out, Chris was like, I want to sleep over at your house. And then we had like was it a 2 day sleepover or 1 day sleepover?
It was a 2 night sleepover.
Yeah, it was a 2 night sleepover. And then I was like, wait, this is really cute. This is so like, this is literally like what I've always wanted to do. I was like, damn, like, wow, you know, like spending time with someone that you love like that. Like, and now it's like every day it's just like, it's like a little party. It's for like, you know, not even more, it's like, it's literally just the whole vibe. It's just a vibe reveal like every day, like going to bed, waking up, sunrise, going in the room, just a warm feeling like all around. It's like when you first start dating someone, you're never like really aware of how deep can like love really be, or like how much your brain can open up to things, or like how much like you can really feel with someone. And now it's like, as like time goes by, it's like every month there's just like much more to feel, much more to like expand on. Of course, yeah. Like love is like bumpy and like, you know, up and down and stuff, but it's like everything else is like, you know, you gotta put in the like the work. You get, you know, you get a trail to go on. You just kind of go through it.
You're learning how to dance together. I always, in my practice, I talk about the relationship dance. So you're learning how to do that dance together.
But we can't even dance yet because of COVID. We can't even go out and party because of COVID. Like that, I think that was definitely very homophobic, like of of the virus to just not let us dance. Like,
well, you have your bedroom.
We have our bedroom, but it's a little small for dancing, yeah. You know, because I'm like, where do you get, you know, what if you want to jump around and like, you know, go a little crazy?
You're kind of wild, huh, Noe? I can feel that.
It's true. Yeah.
They're wild.
That's beautiful.
I have a question for you, and I've noticed that you use their as your pronouns. Sometimes we have older folks who listen and don't really understand the their thing. And I was wondering if you might, one of you might explain it to anyone out there who's a little confused, because sometimes when you say, I went into their house, let's say, someone might be thinking, are you talking about Noe's parents? So could you talk a little bit about that? Noe, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's just pronoun use, because like neither of us like really identify with like he, him pronouns.
It's, I don't know. It's very much like trying to like remove yourself from, I don't know. It's really hard to come out trans when it's like your whole life you've been perceived as this, and your whole life by the people like older than you, you've been perceived as this. And it's very much like, it's really hard, actually. And there's so much internalized transphobia that's really ingrained in so many queer people. And I think non-binary is more or less just kind of like aligning yourself with the idea that gender is, it's real. It's not real, but it has real life implications. But it very much,
it's just Play-Doh that you can mold.
It's Play-Doh that you can mold.
It's definitely. Just, yeah. But I think the question was like, why are we using saying they?
Then? Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I think the question is, why are we using like theirs? It's more of a neutral, gender neutral pronoun.
Yeah, it's more of a gender neutral pronoun.
Yeah, it feels weird calling myself like, sometimes like I'll misgender myself, like I don't know, I'll be like, oh, it feels more expressive of like, like for me, it feels much more expressive of like myself, because I just like don't really like being called like, as like labeled as like a he, him, or like a she, her. So I'd be like, oh, like I like to use my they, them pronouns, because I feel like that really kind of collides with like my neutrality of like where I want to be on and like the gender spectrum and like how I've molded like my own gender, my own perspective, like myself.
And even in that, you use trans a lot.
Yeah, I think
even when you say the day.
Yeah.
So what's that? So can you explain?
I think this is more of an explanation of like how you can fit in like your own trans identity of being non-binary. Because like at first I was like, oh, like to me, I kind of separated like being non-binary from being trans, because I felt like I was kind of invading on space that wasn't very much for me. And then I was like, wait, like as I did like much more research, I was like, wait, like being non-binary is essentially a part of being trans, because you're not really fitting into the norm of being cisgendered or being like a cis woman or a cis man. So it's more of like, oh, like I'm taking myself out of that mold. Therefore, I'm not really, like, I'm part of another bigger umbrella of molds where you can just have, like, dictate, like, your own self. It all depends on, like, how a certain person wants to, like, express themselves and, like, how they view themselves as a person. Definitely.
Yeah. It so, has like, to do with, like, each and every person. And a lot of people on the spectrum just have always kind of lived outside of what is perceived as the norm and what's perceived as like the status quo. I think the using of the they, them pronouns is just kind of, it's very much a way to like just kind of affirm who you are.
You did a great job. Good job. Yeah, exactly. Sense of freedom, sense of you choosing what you, who you are and what you want to be.
It's you who's in control of you. It's, you know, it's like,
yeah, who knows, like maybe pronouns like change like as you age, because it's like the whole life is just a transition. Like there's never, you know, the whole, as you like grow, you just transition into like who you are. And it's like, and that, you know, I don't know, because I still feel kind of weird about using just like they, them pronouns, because like to me, I feel like I feel like I kind of want to use all the pronouns, because I'm like, I like being seen like as everything, like being molded into everything and like being in every, like in everywhere. I don't know, I feel like myself, like how I want to expand myself probably like in the future is like in a healthy environment and like in a more like stable like home of like love and stuff. Like I definitely want to like explore like more outlets of like expression, even like small things like of pronouns. It's like, it's a bigger avenue to go on.
What freedom. Yeah, beautiful.
I have another question.
And that has to do with your experience in theater, Chris. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
I attended ArtQuest Theater in Santa Rosa in their theater program, and I know they're pretty well recognized. That was kind of a while, because I was going through a lot of different like ideas of what myself is, and so looking back, it's not really the greatest memories, but I did have some triumphs definitely there. My class went to the Linnea Festival in Folsom both years, and both years we won for our one act, and the last year I went, actually, I won an award for performing a scene in The Goat or Who is Sylvia by Edward Albee. And it pretty much just kind of polarized the judges, and they had me go and explain like the plot of the story, and everyone in the room was like screaming. It definitely paid off reading the entire one act, because that was pretty harrowing read.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So do you have any more acting in the horizons once COVID is over? Or?
No, not really. I don't know where to go with that, really. I was working with these local filmmakers who I used to be friends with, and I very much, I don't know, just kind of realized that the only reason that I was being validated by them in all aspects was because they perceived me as a man, pretty much, before I really figured out who I was. And once I figured out who I was, I realized that wasn't going to fit.
So, Noe, tell us about your designs.
I just got hired at the Sonoma West Publishers. I'm going to be their chief director of design and graphic content. So I'm going to be like executing like all like ads, all like graphic placements on the websites. Like I want to take it like to a whole new direction of like art and like a whole new direction of like just being alive, like not just being alive, but like of communication, like through these mediums on like newspaper and web. So like there's some direction that's to be had. I'm still learning the process and everything in there, but like I'm putting the vision together, still mood boarding everything as well.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's exciting. And what is the company again, in case somebody wants to check out your work?
Sonoma West Publishers.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. You have a website.
Oh, I have a website as well. Yeah.
What is it?
NoeNaranjo.com.
Okay.
So it's just my full name and then .com. And then there I just put like projects like I'm working on and stuff like that, just like kind of detail like my direction and like just kind of the art that I want to create like for the future. Like I'm still like there's still more to be like learned about. Yeah, but like there's other things I'm like experimenting with as well, like with like music and like putting it all together and like doing like more like animated stuff, but like haven't even touched like an animation board yet. So there's definitely much more processes that I want to go to.
Oh, congratulations. That sounds very, very exciting.
Really? You must be great. They hired you like that to be a director.
Yeah. Cause I have a journalism background. I did journalism in like high school, and then I won an award from the Press Democrat for 2017. It was a piece that I did on like reverse racism and like how like it's not a real thing. And then I won first place from there. And then I helped create like the designs and layouts for like the Oak Leaf, even though I don't really get like a lot of credit for that. Because I was just a volunteer designer, I still did create like all the ideas, like everything there, like every concept that was created for like the last Oak Leaf issue from fall 2020 was all like brought up by me, like the whole year in design and everything. I did that. And then I kind of just like gained experience there. And then they really liked that Sonoma West Publisher. So that's when they were like, hey, like, we want you. And I was like, hey, like, I want you, like, I want to do this, like, I want to bring these, you know, together, because like I've always wanted to like work for like a magazine or like a newspaper of some sort to like put these things together, because like that's kind of what like I learned from the get-go. So I was like, okay, like, how can I do this and make it better, like, because especially like it's mediums like these, like, because I feel like there's not much like expressivity in like these outlets here in like Sonoma County too. It's just kind of like bland, like pieces that are just kind of thrown out there without like much like direction, and especially like for younger people as well, like who need to be like reading up on like news and like being more involved with like what's happening on with the community. It's like you need to have these things that are like much more accessible to them and like marketed to them and like ways that they can like understand and entertain themselves with as well.
Well, I would say both of you are real gifts to Sonoma County.
Yes.
Both of you. And it's an honor to get to know you a little bit.
Thank you.
It was an honor.
We'd like you to give us some words of wisdom to our listeners. So, words to live by in your philosophy of life. Chris, you want to start?
It's important to let love into your life, definitely. And not just from other people, but from your own self. That is the way. That's the way to start. That's the way to begin life as a person. And I know a lot of people don't really have that in their lives. So they become cynical, or they kind of fall into their own spiral. And it's important to remember what's important.
Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Noe?
Take care of yourself. do take time with things. Like, I think for me, like, what really helped is to, like, seek out the help that, like, you need. Like, I think that's when, like, healing really began for me, is, like, when, like, I showed up to, like, the hospital and I was, like, just, like, in tears and I was, like, I need help. Like, I need to, like, seek out, like, medical attention. Like, you should definitely be unafraid to do these things, like, for yourself, to take care of yourself. Always put yourself, like, as a priority. Like, you matter, you will always matter, and you, like, worthy of all. And, like, once you guys are experiencing these things, that's when the healing can start beginning.
Thank you both so much. Mm-hmm. And before we go, Noah, you brought a song. Would you like to tell us a little bit about it, because we'll use that song as our outro?
The song I chose was It's Okay to Cry by Sophie. This song's really important to me because this was the first time I ever heard a trans person, like, ever, like, in a song, or, like, be, like, the video itself to It's Okay to Cry, like, just really touches me, because it's, like, it's just such an emotional part of me, like, from, like, growing up, like, as a kid, to just, like, see, like, an expressive, like, voice that, like, I never really, like, had, or, like, have that, like, those multitudes of, like, sound and, like, sound design, and just, like, the entire, like, aesthetic of, like, being trans, like, just being portrayed like that and being so vulnerable and so intimate with, like, with a person, that it's just, like, wow, like, it, that, I think that's really when, like, my journey started to, like, realizing that, like, I might be trans. Like, this song was, like, the beginning. This song was, like, definitely, like, a definitive marker for, like, my life in 2018. I just want to say, like, Sophie recently passed away on January 30th. She was on the top of, like, her apartment complex. She passed away while because she fell off the rooftop while she was trying to get a very like, intimate glimpse of the moon, yes, of image of the moon. She sadly fell off. Yeah, she very important, just to show just how vulnerable and, like, how special she was. She was at the time, she was living with her girlfriend Avita Manji in Athens, Greece, and it was just a very tragic, like, day to have her passing. It's still definitely, like, a process grieving it, but she did, one of the most important people to come out in, like, the last decade.
And the music that she leaves behind is immortal.
Well, thank you both again so much for joining us tonight. And we want everyone to remember that, like Chris and Noe, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, being authentic, and putting in the work, you can make our world a better world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we will be back next month. Until then,
good night.
Scares you. All of the big occasions you might have missed. No, I accept you. And I don't even need to know your reasons. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I think you sometimes forget I would know you best. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. Inside is your best side. High, was that a teardrop in your eye? I never thought I'd see you cry. Just know whatever hurts, it's all mine. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. High, see the truth through all the lies. Even after all this time, just know you've got nothing to hide. It's okay. Drop in your eyes.
For Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised here in Sonoma County with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Cheryl Kabanek. That's right here and only on KRCB Radio, Sonoma County's NPR station. Stay with us. It's 9 p.m. Afropop is next.